In the series, Breaking the Chains That Bind. Breaking the Chains That Bind. I've been blessed in this series with what the Holy Spirit has accomplished. Blessed to see people stirred emotionally, spiritually, socially, seemingly coming out of things that have been holding them back. We've experienced what I would say is a breakthrough anointing in our altar services where God has just met us here and powerfully moved. We've witnessed some tremendous deliverances. I've had text messages and emails and words that have come back to me, Pastor, oh, what God did Friday night or Sunday night. Things that just are pleasant to my ears as a pastor, and I know God is pleased because his people are blessed. This series is an effort on my part to share with you what I feel are dominant spirits. Somebody say dominant spirits. Dominant spirits that are prevalent in northeastern North Carolina. And just before you would say, well, you know, I didn't like what the pastor said. Listen, I have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and there are people who pray for Pastor Joy and I all the time. And I don't have, you know, I'm not, as I said last week, I'm not here to preach likes. I'm not here to preach a word that just will tickle your fancy, and, you know, that's not where I'm going in 2018. I'm not here to preach likes or to make friends. And sometimes, you know, when you go through the challenges of ministry and you hear God say, sometimes as a leader, as a spiritual leader, you don't want to go really where God is taking you and leading you to go. But however, you know, even I tried to talk myself out of this whole series. In fact, I said, God, the last time I preached like this, the devil furnished all the illustrations I needed. So I don't want to go there. But I must say, I must go here because I believe it's the will of God. Dominant spirits that control this region. I've discovered in my own kingdom assignment here in the last 25 years that folk in ministry, hear me now, folk in ministry will stay away from northeastern North Carolina. There's a line that is drawn, Richard. It's called Interstate 95. And they'll say, people tell me all the time in ministry, oh, you know, you don't want to go east of 95. Talking about North Carolina. Amen. You don't want to go east of 95. Why do people not want to go east of 95? Because they say, in that region, our schools are bad. In that region, job opportunities are limited. In that region, the economic base is extremely poor and extremely low. And even, I've been doing some studying on this. Pastor Joy was helping me here last week. Even in this region, listen, beloved, health statistics are worse in eastern North Carolina than they are in any part of the state. Studies show that Alzheimer's, strokes, heart disease, sugar diabetes, and the like are all experienced at higher levels in eastern North Carolina than any other part of our state. Eastern North Carolina needs a sovereign move of the Holy Spirit. Because the word indicates that the spiritual, come on now, enhances the natural. The spiritual feeds into and nurtures or enhances the natural. 3 John verse 2 says this, dear friend, I pray that you may what? Enjoy good health and that all may go well. Somebody say all go well. That all may go well with you, even what? Even as your soul prospers. You see, I want to tell you something. I want you to leave here today understanding that the natural is affected by the supernatural. The natural is affected by the supernatural. It feeds. If you're having a spirit of revival, if you're having a move of the Holy Spirit, God will bless the land. God will bless the people. And so it's directly linked to one another. There seems to be that direct correlation between the spirit and the natural. A strong relationship that shows us that when the spiritual prospers, so does the natural. Jesus himself addressed this and reminds us in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 33, that we're to never worry about what we eat or drink or wear. We shouldn't worry about what you eat or drink or what you wear. He says, but listen, this is what you need to do, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. That is the domain, the realm, the influence, the authority. spirits so that these dominating spirits can be broken off of people's lives. Individuals, families, communities, counties, and the like. That's why we've tried to identify these dominating spirits. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 that this is what we would that is intended to make you feel like you're getting some relief when all the while the devil is laughing you all the way to your heart saying, look at you. You're making a mess for yourself you'll never be able to keep up with. Amen. You can't provide for all these kids. Then we're in an area where there's the absence of the Father more than any area in North Carolina. Amen. Bunch of dead beat denim britches hanging failures that won't do nothing. You say, man, you're mean. No, I'm not. I'm real. And you're going to see that Jesus was no different in the Bible this morning. He was no different. He was no different. He called it out just like it was. And listen, something will never change unless you put your finger on it. Some things will never change unless you address it. All right. And so we come against those spirits that lurk, that rule, that reign over northeastern North Carolina. We talked about, first one was breaking what? The spirit of isolation. Yeah. Depression. And our doctors are tossing pills at it like jelly beans. Oh, just, she's on that anxiety medication. Well, welcome to the world of demons. Welcome to the world of the supernatural. They just toss pills at it. So then you build up an immunity to that one, and now you got to toss another one. And so what you're doing is you're raising a generation of people who cannot function without medication. Come on, church, it's the truth. I'm totally aware I will not gain popularity preaching like this. I understand that. But we've got doctors tossing. I sat with one person myself, my own self. I sat in our cafe one day, had my laptop, and I was taking notes, and I asked this person, this young lady, this precious young lady. I said, so tell me, are you on medications? Yes. And I said, what medications are you on? And God is my witness. She sat there in the cafe with me, and she listed 9 antidepressants that she was currently taking. 9 antidepressants. Somebody say Jesus. 9 antidepressants. And that's why I said doctors are tossing pills like candy to our younger generation. And so they grow up with a low self-esteem. They grow up with anxiety and panic attacks and don't want to be around people. And so they isolate. It's a spirit of separatism where they go alone. And God never intended for you to be alone. Adam, where are you? Adam was naked and ashamed, and the Lord wanted fellowship with him. And he lays a foundation in the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, that tells us that we are people of relationship and fellowship. And so the devil throws to us the spirit of isolation. If you missed that sermon, it's in the archives. Ephesians chapter 4, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 12, declare this, two are better than one. The greater the possibility of you walking in victory and not defeat. Amen. We need each other. We're not called to isolation. Isolation is a spirit that is destructive. It is a chain that will bind you and destroy your potential and your destiny. Secondly, we looked at the spirit of jealousy. The Lord, listen, that's why I tell you, it's in the Bible. The Lord said to these two men, listen, here it is. You have the opportunity to do the very same thing. Cain had the opportunity, just as Abel did, to offer the first fruits of his labors. He could have given the first of his fruits to the Lord and experienced the very same thing as Abel, an offering that was well received, one that gratified the Lord. But he simply didn't do that. And when Abel was favored by God, Cain began to do the self-destructive task of comparing himself to his brother. We do it. We grow up doing it. Well, he had it. You had it easy. Mama was tough on me. You know, we compare all of our lives. Amen. We compare. Well, yeah, that was a different day. Mom and daddy, you got out like a breeze. Mom and daddy was rough on me. We compare ourselves all of our lives. Don't fall victim to the schemes and the strategies of the devil. That's a spirit that must be what? Cast down, defeated. It runs rampant in this region. And can I just throw a little sidebar here? It even exists among preachers, ministries, who want to hail themselves as the best thing since sliced bread, who want to be better than anyone else. I had a preacher approach me one day in a restaurant here in Ahoskie. And I recognized him, and I said, hey, I haven't met him yet. So I go over, and I see his T-shirts, got his church on it and everything. So I said, hey, Pastor, my name's Wallace Phillips. He said, oh, I know who you are. And he said, I don't desire fellowship with you. You think your church is better than anybody else's in this region, and I don't want to have anything to do with you. And he walked out the door, and I said to myself, you don't know me, okay? Because I share, listen, when I say I mean you. You share, we share with people. We have preachers every week preaching in different places, going out and proclaiming the gospel from this church. Randy Hughes today got up early this morning and trekked all the way down to Grandy, North Carolina to preach to a people who don't have a pastor. We share with people. We give people away all the time to share the giftings and the abilities with other people. Oh, you think you're better than everybody else. No, but listen, I refuse to sit quietly in a little town of 5,000 people that's far too small for us not to take for Jesus. I refuse to just accept the status quo. I refuse to say, oh, we can't have that. We can have that. We can have that. We can have what we want. And the Word of God says every place that you put your foot will be yours if you believe in the promises of God. I said to you last Sunday, I'm going to stay here and stay here and stay here, and I'm going to preach this thing to northeastern North Carolina if it kills me. There is a better way. There is a better county that awaits us. My wife said yesterday, we cannot let this younger generation rise up in northeastern North Carolina and accept the things of the past. They have to be gone in the name of Jesus. Because if we don't, what happens? Our kids grow up and they leave. Listen, you don't come to Ahoskie unless you're assigned to Ahoskie. Nobody comes to a Husky. Nobody comes to a Husky. You have to be led by the Spirit of God. Well, I got away from there. I ain't going back. Watch what you say. Buy my book. Chapter 1, never say what you'll never do. Okay? But God. I preached in Florida one year. Preach in Florida every year. But I preached in Florida, and this pastor says to me, he said, Pastor Phillips, I feel like I better let you know this. He said, there's a group of people coming to listen to you tonight. And he said, a couple of them were here last night, and they said they're bringing their staff, their pulpit committee, all this stuff. They're bringing them. They want to hear you. And they're coming prepared to offer you something. They've been following you on the internet. They like your style. They like you. They've been following you. They want to hire you. So this guy, I'm preaching, you know, getting ready to preach, and I look, and there's like 16 people sitting in front of me, all of them smiling with a sign on them, we're watching you. Well, this is nice. Hello. So after the service was over, one of them made their way to me and said, have you got a few minutes? I said, sure. And he pulled me to the side. He said, we have a pulpit committee here. I said, yeah, I was aware of that. And he said, we've been watching you. We've been following you. We've watched your sermons online. We've tracked kind of where you've been and what's happened. And we'd really like to have you as our pastor. And then he gave me a document that prepared a salary package and all this for the, you know, for the pastor. He said, we're prepared to offer you a salary of, it was $88,000. And I said, no, you. I said, no, I couldn't do that. And he said, well, is it too low? I said, it's not, no. I said, it's higher than where I am, obviously. But I said, there's one thing that stands in the way. I said, I'm on assignment. God has planted me in northeastern North Carolina, and I'm not willing to step out of that. Are you serious? I said, yes, I'm serious. I'm not willing to step away from God's design for me. I'm not willing to step away from, and I've had people tell me, Pastor, you should be somewhere else. Why should I be somewhere else? Why wouldn't it be best for me to be smack dab in the center of God's divine will for my life? Because you know what? If you do His will, He will take care of the rest. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. I ain't going back there. Watch what you say. God has a tremendous ability to double cross His kids and laugh about it. So this vice of the devil gets a hold of Cain when he compares himself to his brother. Cain's resentment rose to the level of murder in the field. He killed his brother. And that's a spirit that must be cast down and defeated. And it runs rampant in this region. And I said, even among ministers. I did a little test one time when we started taking this church to a level. You know, we are the most diverse, culturally diverse church in eastern North Carolina. People tell me that all the time. I say, Pastor, I've never seen anything like that before. And so when we started taking the church to a multicultural level, I did a little test. I walked into the post office one day, and I saw one of my friends that had always been friends with me. And I saw him. There was nobody in the post office except me and him, and he was down there, you know, kind of going through his mail, and I just kind of came in, and I just kind of went to my box because he was in such a place that, you know, he wouldn't have said, well, I can't believe he's going to speak to me, not going to speak to me. So I'm over there, you know, just kind of doing something like humming Amazing Grace or something, and I'm just getting my mail, and I look up, and he's going like this. And by the time he got to the door, I said, hey, and I called his name. I'm not going to slip. You don't have to worry. I said, hey. He said, oh, hey. And you could see on his countenance had a message on it. Because of your position on ethnicity, I no longer desire fellowship with you. See? I wouldn't say he's a friend, would you? So go ahead your way. Go ahead your merry way. These are spirits, beloved, that have to be broken. Today we talk about the spirit of poverty. In the revelation of this spirit, this stronghold, I want to utilize a passage from none other than Jesus Christ, his own lips. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, listen intently to the Word of God. Now, I understand, for those of you Bible scholars, I understand the context of this passage. This is always important. The context of this passage, Travis, is the context of salvation and the kingdom of God. But I'm understanding this, that this is a principle that Jesus is presenting, and that principle can be applied to many other things. Come on, the application of the scriptures to my life in many areas. And so he says here, this guy can handle five bags. This guy can handle two. Maybe this guy's trying. Maybe we'll just give him a bag and see what he does. So listen, God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere, but he's also omniscient. He's all knowing. He knows you and he knows me. And he does this according to each of them's individual ability. And then he went on his journey. And the man who had received five bags of gold went at once and put his money to work. And what did he do? This servant who was, he's telling the parable because he's understanding that you and I are going to be entrusted with what? Not the bags of gold, but the gold involved in the harvest is in our hands because we're trusted with the gospel. But the principle is this: the servant that took that do nothing approach was rewarded for his laziness. Even what he had was taken from him and given to those who had the most already. Let me submit to you that there is a do-nothing spirit of laziness in northeastern North Carolina. Not so many years ago, my elder son worked for a shoe business up here, some sports shoes, I don't know. They had a up here in the shopping center next to Food Line, two or three doors down, they had a shoe store up there. And he said to me one day, he said, "Dad, it's unbelievable." I said, "What?" He said, "You know how when you go into a store and they have, you know, rewards programs, you can sign up with your cell phone number, and every time you come in, you know, like yesterday, Pastor Joy and I got a little scoop of no sugar added Sweet Frog." Come on, how many of y'all lugged a Sweet Frog? We drove like 5 or 6 miles out of the way for that frog. And they said, "Would you like a rewards card?" And I said, "Well, we don't live around here." Pastor Joy said, "Take it." She said, "Can't you use this card somewhere else?" She said, "Oh, yeah." She said, "Yeah, stamp it." So she stamped it twice. Now we got to get Sweet Frog 8 more times and we get a free Sweet Frog. Somebody say ribbit. So, but here's my point. My son tells me, he said, "Dad," he said, "this is crazy." He says, "We have this rewards program," and he said, "these guys can get like a free pair of sneakers after they've bought 12 pair of sneakers." And he said, "You would not believe it." He said, "I've got one young man that has purchased like 114 pairs of Air Jordans from me since I've been working there." And he said, "Every time it's the same. He reaches in his pocket, way down low. He reaches in his pocket and he pulls out what we old timers used to say, a wad of cash big enough to do what? Choke a mule. Come on, somebody." He said, "He pays cash." And he said, "You know, I just sell them to him. I mean, he's a customer. I'm the employee, so I sell them to him." And he said, "He has mounted up so many rewards." He said, "He's always getting free Air Jordans. As soon as a new pair comes out on the shelf, he's one of the first ones to come in and get them. And he'll buy 2 or 3 pair. Pay cash for them." I said, "Josh, what is this?" He says, "Just drug money. Just drug money." You know, he doesn't work anywhere. And he's got this big car, you know, look on steroids. You passed him on the highway. You passed him down. Come on, somebody. You pass him on the road. They're sitting at the stoplight, and you hear stuff rattling. It's the bolts coming loose out of their vehicle. The bolts are backing out, okay? Somebody said, "Well, I just can't believe he's sharing illustrations like that." Do you want the truth, or do you just want, come on, do you want the truth? 114 pairs of sneakers paying cash for not a pair of $39.95s, but a pair of shoes that would be $139.95. Come on. Paying cash for them from drug deals and not working. And don't even go there. "Well, yeah, that's how the black race is." No, there's a bunch of white ones in the crowd too. Just as many. A bunch of white thugs. A bunch of black thugs. They're all over. Thank you. That's one card you can't pull with me. Look at my family, man. We look like a kaleidoscope. Okay? You can't pull that card with me.
That's right.
I love people, okay?
Amen.
I love people. So I don't share things just because, "Oh, that's just an African American statistic," or "that's a Caucasian statistic." We're talking about people. People in this region. I know plenty of Caucasian people that won't get up tomorrow morning and go to work, and they'll be waiting to get a telephone call to see if their disability has been approved yet. Because we see disability in northeastern North Carolina as a trophy to be waved around. "Oh, I'm on disability." Why? Because you're not disabled. Can you sit with an elderly person and do jigsaw puzzles? Can you work somewhere in a health organization where you can at least fix a simple meal and clean up a little bit? Can you do something?
Yes, yes.
"I'm disabled." No, you're not. You're lazy.
Amen.
That's what you are. You're the person in this parable. You're the person Jesus is talking about. He says, you're worthless servant. I'm just going to give you the truth. You know what? Because the truth will set you free. If you will embrace the truth. Because see, yes, you say, well, Pastor, you just don't know my situation. I don't have a problem with food stamps. I don't have a problem with CADA housing. I don't have a problem with Section 8. I don't have a problem with any of that as long as it's temporary. Amen. Temporary, not lifestyle. And you got all these fine cars. They spend thousands of dollars upgrading, got neon lights shining on the pavement so we can see them coming down the road purple, and then drive home at night and pull up to something that the dogs wouldn't even want to stay in. Don't have a house, but got a car. Don't have a house, but got two cars. Don't have anything to live in. Staying with somebody else. Pastors, you're going to watch your attendance drop. No, I'm going to watch it rise. Because I'm going to see that people are going to be set free. We're going to see that people are going to be set free today from a spirit of poverty. And you're going to leave this place today saying, no more. No more. I'm drawing a line in the sand. And in the name of Jesus, I will do better. Amen. I shared with you last week when I was sitting in the food stamp line in Polk County in Florida. And I was eligible. Filled out the paperwork, sitting there getting ready to go in and get my food stamps. Because my preacher friends who were in college with me told me, that's the way to go, man. You get money, you get it free. You know, you deserve it. You're a taxpayer. They were trying to, you know, why are y'all working like you're working? My wife was working full time to put me through Bible college. I was working two nights a week. 11 o'clock at night, 7 in the morning, got a class at 8:40. Falling to sleep at class in the morning. Professor coming by, knocking on my shoulder, Wallace, you got to wake up. I said, man, I worked last night. He said, do the best you can, son. But I worked. Why? Because I refused to fall into the trap of food stamps to be a norm for me. And so I said, I can do better than this. I can do better than this. Paul spoke to the Thessalonians about this, and he warned them about idleness. He said, if you can work, you should. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, for even when we were with you, we gave... How come we don't shout in verses like that? How come we don't go, oh! Nobody said amen. Nobody shouts. See? The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. You know, I'm not against disability. I'm not. If you're disabled, I'm not against it at all. But see, this is what I've noticed about people who, you know, they have to have help with this and they have to have help with that, but they still got nails and they still got cell phones and they still got everything else they need. I've had them sit in my office. Can you assist me? My power's getting ready to be cut off. Hold on a second, Pastor. Hello? You got a smartphone, but you ain't got no juice in there so you can cook. But you got a smartphone. And you're not going to miss that nail appointment for nothing. Could I get a repaint? If you're going to attack me now, okay? Don't say nothing when you leave here. If you're going to attack me now, okay? Go ahead and say it now. Because it's just the truth. And there will never, somebody say never, there will never be any change unless somebody lays their finger on this principality and says, in the name of Jesus, I curse that. I curse it in the name of Jesus. It'll never change. So, can you sit at a desk and answer a phone? Can you do computer work? Can you do some online service from your home? Sure you can. So you don't need disability. They didn't cart you in here today on a bed. Maybe you're not disabled. Maybe your identification with disability is you really would rather not work. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't not work? Who wouldn't rather not work? Work is a curse anyway. You know where it came from? Our sin. God said to Adam, you will earn your living, bud, at the sweat of your brow. It's a curse. And so he wants you to embrace the curse, go to work, get your money, pay your bills, take care of your family.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. This man in the parable was rebuked by Jesus because he dug a hole. And he put what was entrusted to him in the hole. And while the others were going out doubling their investments, he was just sitting back, doing nothing. Because he was embraced by this spirit of poverty in his life. This aspiration of people in this region, beloved, has to change. Well, you know how it is in Burt T. No. Well, you know how it is in Hertford County. That's a lie. That's an absolute lie. It has nothing to do with the geographic situation. The geographic situation is made up of human beings who reside there. And we are the ones that set the tone for how our counties operate. We're the ones who set the pace for it. Jesus gave everyone in this parable the very same opportunity. He gave more to some than he did to others, but everybody had a chance. You see? You take what you have, let me see what you can do with it. It had nothing to do with where they were, but everything to do with who they were. Their mindset, their perspective, their willingness to go out and do something. The man with five bags doubled his. The man with two bags doubled his. The man with the poverty mindset did the thing that he did best. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You don't know how many times my phone rings. Pastor, pray for me. Our grandson. Pastor, pray. My nephew. Well, where's he living? He's living with us. I hear it all the time. All the time. So-and-so's living with me because they have nowhere else to live. They've exhausted every possibility because of their trifling behavior. They've exhausted every possibility of anywhere they have to live. Here they go again. I love guys like Marlon. Come here, Marlon. I see you back there in the back. Come here. Give this guy a hand. Friday, Marlon and I hooked up over in Murfreesboro. Come here, bro. Him and I told my wife, I said, I'm not going to have lunch with you today. She said, where are you having lunch? I said, I'm hanging out with Marlon. You seen Marlon move around this sanctuary? Okay? See him moving right here with a camera? He didn't ask for nothing. Making videography materials, making little clips and stuff like that. Dumped a whole load of pictures to Anoli last week on our church computers where he's just taking pictures, doing videography. Never asked for a thing. And I look at his Facebook post and he's encouraging me because of what comes out of his mouth. And so we're sitting and we're talking and this guy has gotten a ride to Carpenter Shop Church every week for the last 2 or 3 months. Somebody, hey, ringing somebody, hey, do you mind if I catch a ride? Listen, most college students will lay in the bed. This guy's ringing the phones of people in this church. Can I get a ride? Okay? Can I get a ride to the church? And so I'm asking him, you know what, well, like, do you have a car? He said, oh, I'd like to have a car. But he said, I'm just in the process right now of saving up money because I don't want to get something, you know, that's not going to be dependable. Amen. Oh, okay. And so I'm looking at possibilities that, like, you know, who can I find here that might have a car that might be reasonable? And so this person says to me, well, you know, Pastor, it's just transportation, man. I mean, it's rough. And so I said, Marlon, you know, I got a chance to get something that's like, I mean, it's really rough. And you know what he says? Instead of saying, yeah, 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 he says, well, I can wait. I can wait. He said, because I really don't want to get something. And he said, I've got some money to put with it because I've been saving. But he said, I really don't want to get something that's just going to cause me a problem and I'll be in the auto mechanic shop all the time. Look at you, man. You outdressing me. You outdressing me, but you GQ, Bubba. You outdressing me, man. See? And so I'm saying, you know, I asked, hey, Marlon, where are you from? California. He comes all the way from California, goes to a little school in eastern North Carolina, Chowan University. What are your aspirations? And he starts naming things, you know, my goals. Just like that, faster than I can ask him questions, he's giving me the answers. A guy who's focused. A guy who comes into an area where people behave like some of our people do. See? And you watch out, man. This guy's going to go somewhere, okay? He's going somewhere, okay? He told me just the other day, he said, Pastor, I've got a great opportunity I want you to pray about. Wake Forest University, a Baptist institution, has given him an opportunity to do an internship on the campus of Wake Forest University. I said, how much? He said, I'm really excited about it. I said, how much does it pay? And he said, nothing. But he said, it will look so good on my resume. Marlon. Marlon. Come on, somebody say Marlon. It's going to happen for Marlon. Why? Because he's the man with five bags of gold. Come on, somebody. It's going to happen for Marlon. Why? Because he's the guy with two bags of gold. He's not the guy who digs the hole and says, I'm not doing anything. I'll just take the Pell Grant. No. He's not going to do that. Why? Because it starts in the mind. And I don't know about you, but this brother ain't dressing like a college student. Come on, somebody. Give it up for him. Marlon. So right now I pray in the name of Jesus. Come on. In the name of Jesus, I pray an automobile for Marlon. In the name of Jesus. No more rides from Murfreesboro to Ahoskie. No more rides. He drives himself in the name of Jesus. He drives himself. Amen. If you want a missions project, come on. It's Marlon. Come on. Just go for it. We've given cars away before. So if you want to put some money somewhere, buy Marlon a car. Come on, y'all quiet. Come on, somebody say amen. Somebody say, well, I wonder why he would do that for Marlon. He ain't even from here. Shut your mouth. God had enough sense to look and say, here's one who needs five. Give him two bags. He'll take a bag. He knows where to put the bags. Okay? That's good soil. Just a few weeks ago, I took the initiative to go to the closing of a home with my son, my youngest son, 25. And I was excited. I wanted to be there. I was with my daughter, when she closed on her eyes, just to say, hey, I'm proud of you, okay? Your mom and dad were 48 years old when they signed their name to a home for the first time because we lived in the false hope of a parsonage. I mean, it's just the truth. It never would be ours. Kind of felt like it was, but it really wasn't. So 48 years old, I started a 30-year mortgage. Amen? So I went with Abby when she closed on her home, and I went with Zach when he closed on his home. Just about 3 weeks ago. And at the close of the signing, all those documents and the transfer of capital, the attorney goes over to my son and he extends his hand. He says, Zach, congratulations, my friend. And Zach said, thank you. He said, I don't know if you know this or not, but he said, in Hertford County, y'all hold on to your seat now, 67% of every resident in Hertford County rents where they live. He said, you're among the top percentage of people who have purchased a home. And he said, I also commend you because most guys your age have already financed the big truck. Then they financed the four-wheeler to put in the back of it, and some even added a boat. And then when they finally find a girl and settle down, they're denied housing because their debt ratios are so out of control. He said, I commend you, man. Your credit is excellent. And he shook his hand again. See, it's about mindset. It's about perspective. It's not about, you know, whose child you are, or, you know, where you live, which part of the county, which side of the tracks. It's not about that. A son told us when he graduated from school, he said, "I don't want to go to college." And the first thing I thought was, "Man, you going to college, boy. Zach, you don't want to go to college?" He said, "No." Well, I didn't say anything. And I went home and I said, "Zach says he's not going to college." And Pastor Joy is dramatic. She says, "What? He's going to college. If we'll help him, we'll..." I said, "Honey, we just need to chill out. I don't know what this is all about." But I said, "You know what? We've prayed for them. We prayed for all of our kids." I said, "You know, we helped them. I mean, we helped them with on a wing and a prayer. I mean, it's some tough times. But they got through." And so can I just pull the curtain back and be honest with y'all for a second? When he told me, "Dad, I'm not going to college," you know what I did? I went, "Yes, yes, yes." You know, "Oh, excuse me, Lord. Excuse me. Didn't mean to get too excited there." But no, I said, "God, you're in control." And so Zach takes a job that he's working now for about 7 years. And, you know, he's dropped into holes and burning rods and laying upside down and welding with a mirror. And he's doing this, I mean, this 15, 16-hour days. And then all of a sudden one day he says, "Well, I got an opportunity." I said, "What's that?" He said, "No longer have to burn rods." He said, "I was promoted to instructor." So now he's teaching students how to weld, okay? Listen, favor sometimes ain't fair, is it? God's favor will, if you get up and do the best you can, don't dig a hole. Don't dig a hole. Go out and do the best you can and watch God honor what you do. Watch God honor what you do. It's a spirit. Come on, beloved. It's a spirit that lurks over this region and tells people, call Rich Square, call Cata, call them, they'll help you. And it's only just a false hope. It becomes a pair of crutches that you finally discover you can't walk without them because it's a spirit. Fear will stop you from moving forward. Fear will stop you from making the first step to a different life. Fear will stop you. We just concluded a 4-week series on what? Faith. That's what pleases God. Faith is what moves mountains. Faith is what opens the doors of opportunity for God to bless you. Look at our text in Matthew 25, verses 24 and 25. It talks about the one who was fearful. Then the man who had received one bag of gold. Fear stops a lot of people. He admits that he was afraid. And the very foundation, listen, if you can't get it right in the simple things, the very foundation of God's blessing on your life is just you being willing to take what you have. Somebody say what you have. You say, "Well, you know, I'm not making but $200 a week." Then if you make $200 a week, you pull out your wallet, you take 20 and you lay it on the altar before God. You put it in the plate. 10% of everything you earn. "Well, you know, I'm on disability." I can help you with the math. 10%. Somebody asked me one day, "What do I do? I have disability and food stamps right now. It's not going to be forever, Pastor, but what do I do?" I said, "Give 10% of your food stamps. Take what the value of that is. Give that food to someone else. And say, 'Lord, here it is.'" Take that disability check. Give 10% at least to God and watch him work. Watch him work. "But when I ain't got no money." Yes, you do. Your money's free. Give on what you have. That's all you have to do. It's the very simplest act of faith that any of us are ever asked to do, is to take 10% of our income and give it back to the Lord. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 12, in the NIV section under breaking covenant by withholding tithes. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me, but you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, he says. And because of that, you're under a curse. Your whole nation, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not room enough to store it. I will even prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord. God is faithful. Many of you sitting here in this room, you've seen the providence of God in your life when the math didn't make sense the way you were living. But God does it. God does it. And then you can go beyond the tithe, and he set up an even greater provision for us to be blessed beyond that. Luke 6:38, Jesus himself said, he said, listen, give, and it shall be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I wrote this down in my notes. What you are receiving in your blessing department is a direct reflection of what you're doing in your giving department. Amen. Let me read that one more time. What you're receiving in your blessing department is a direct reflection of what you're doing in your giving department. Someone called me this past week and said, hey, Pastor, just want to let you know I'm not going to be there the next 2 or 3 weeks. I'm not going to be there the next 2 or 3 weeks. But I signed up for that app. And it so makes me feel so good because I'm not even going to be leaving the house and I've already paid my tithe. See? See, we have people that behave that way. Not because they want to please the pastor, because the pastor don't look at the numbers anyway. I just look at the final number. But I don't know. You're sitting here today. I don't know if you tithe or not. Don't want to know. But thank God for people who will use that means, whatever means, to make sure that tithe gets in the right place. Tithes plus offering equals the manifold blessings of God upon your life. That's why this church is blessed. That's why this church is incredibly blessed. We're a giving church. You just gave, just a couple of Sundays ago, you gave almost $2,000 to one of our own to get on a plane and go to Nepal to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. 7 hours, Anoli gets out of a plane and hikes on foot for 7 hours through a path to get to an unreached people group who have never heard about Jesus. You did it. Why? Because you're a giving church. Today you're going to give again. We have a young lady right here who'll preach our revival meeting tonight, and man, she can preach the house down. She can preach the paint off the walls. So don't miss tonight. But in a few moments at the close of this service, she'll share just a window of what God has placed on her heart for missions. And you'll give again. Why? Because that's the way you are. You're a giving church, and that's why this church is blessed. I'm amazed. We're in the middle of a plan right now that costs several thousand dollars to take care of the renovations we're doing. And what's happening is all the electrical work that we budgeted for, all of this lights and electrical work and changing the wires, zeroed, cost us nothing because one of you gave it all. The trim work, didn't have to pay a dime. One of you gave it. The trim work, taken care of. I went just this past week because part of our plans was to go through the house and see what is really, you know, needs to be replaced, needs to be upgraded. Went down and got ready to purchase 2 stoves and didn't have to pay a dime for either one because I've already been beat to the punch and somebody already paid for the stoves. So the church is what? A giving church. If you want to help, all you got to do is say, hey, how can I help? I want to do something for God's house. How can I help? Then I go upstairs and Pastor Gary's rolled up his sleeves and done some major construction work upstairs, renovating the upstairs for the kids' ministry. We didn't even have to hire that out. He said, Pastor, I can do all of this. And he's been working after he gets off work and all day Saturdays doing the work upstairs. rolling up his sleeves, doing the work. Is this okay, Pastor? Does this look all right? Is this what you were thinking? Didn't cost us anything. That's what you call the blessing of God. The blessing of God. This is a blessed house made up of people whose lives are blessed. I will open my mouth and I will speak blessing, not curse. I will speak blessing over this church. I will speak blessing over the lives of the people in this church. Why? Because that's what God expects of us. You will be like the fulfillment of God upon the children of Israel. Look in Deuteronomy as we come to a close here. Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 to 13. Only for the obedient. He says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands, I give you today, the Lord God will set you high above the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come on you and will accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. He goes on to say, the fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but will flee from you in seven directions. The Lord will send blessing on you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, the crops of your ground. In the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and bless the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but borrow from none. Come on, somebody. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them. You will always be at the top and never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands that I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. If you continue to read on in this passage in Deuteronomy, he gives the adverse, the opposite of that. Moses says, listen, if you choose not to follow the commands, go ahead, choose not to tithe if you want to. He'll get it if he has to get it from the flat tires or a busted engine block or what. God's going to get his money. Okay? He'll get his money. He says, if you choose not to, then you'll be cursed in the city and cursed in the field. So how come you can't trust God? How can you look in your checkbook and you got Outback and Sam's Club and Busch Gardens and you never see the church written down in your check ledger? Because you're building your own kingdom. See? But you never write anything to the Lord. The one who can give and take away. Amen. Well, undoubtedly, this will go down as one of the sermons where the pastor just kind of got it off his chest. Yeah? Just kind of got it. No, I'm not getting it off my chest. I'm being gut level honest with you that there is in this region a spirit, somebody say spirit, of poverty. And you can settle for that if you want to, but guess what? I'm not. I break that spirit of poverty in the name of Jesus. I am blessed. I am favored. I am receiving increase. I am positioned for God's purposes in my life to be fulfilled. Blessings are chasing me down. I will be the lender and not the borrower. I will be the head and not the tail. I will be above and not beneath. I am at the top and I will never be at the bottom. Why? Because I'm blessed beyond measure. I'm serving a God who can do exceedingly abundantly above everything I could ask or think. He's the God who owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Surely He can take care of me. If you believe that, stand to your feet this morning. Listen, stand to your feet. And if you've got a curse on your life, if you've got a spirit of poverty, listen, cast it out of yourself. Cast it out of yourself in the name of Jesus. Come on, say it. I curse. Say it. I curse the spirit of poverty on my life in the name of Jesus. I am blessed. Come on, say it. I am blessed. I serve God. He takes care of my needs. He's watching over me. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed coming in. Hallelujah. Come on, worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Come on, worship Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your abundant blessings. Thank you for provision for this house, God. Thank you for all these renovations, God, that are taking place. Thank you for free stoves. And thank you, God, for electrical work and trim work and all the other things that have to be done. Thank you for that brand new ice machine this week, God, one like we've never had. Thank you, God. Thank you for a beautiful exterior, a clean steeple, a clean roof. Thank you, God, for all these things. You're helping us. God, why should we not do everything we do with excellence? This is your house. This is your house. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There may be some of you standing here this morning and say, Pastor, all that sounds good, but man, can I just be honest with you? I'm struggling. I'm struggling. I feel like I'm locked in this thing. And I need some help getting out. Come on, don't be ashamed. Step out of your seat right now. I feel like I'm locked in poverty. I feel like the chains are wrapped around me and I can't do any better. Come on, we'll pray you through this thing, honey. We're not letting you out of here till you get loose from it. Come on, step out of your seat. Curse pride right now in the name of Jesus and boldly walk down to the front of this sanctuary and let the Spirit of the living God get on you. Come on, somebody. Come on. Come on, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Step out of your seat right now. We will not stop until you're free. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, sing it, Richard. Thank you, Lord.
Hear the word.
Come on, there's a cloud, somebody. Come on. Come on, worship team. Let's break this thing.
Season is over. There is a cloud beginning to swell.
Come on. Come on. Come on. There's a cloud beginning to swell.
Your people today, God. We bless them, Lord. We bless them as they move forward, God, not in fear, but in faith, receiving all that you have for them. I call for the principles of prosperity, Malachi, the tithe being given, the offering being released, God. We call for it in Jesus' name over their lives. No longer, no longer, no longer will they be bound, God, by lack. No longer will they be bound by poverty. But God, they'll be recipients of yours, your divine blessings, your divine release of the supernatural in their lives and the natural. In Jesus' strong name, I speak mortgages for other people, God, who want a house. No more rent. No more rent. In Jesus' name, let it be their home, their house, their cottage, their apartment, whatever it is, God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, raise your hands up and receive it this morning. Sing it one more time before my wrist all comes.